right. Praise the Lord. All right. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. And we're actually going to we're going to read some verses in Philippians chapter 4, and then we'll move around and look at several different verses this morning. And we'll be preaching on a topic, a very simple topic, really. But at the same time, probably something that most people will battle with, something that's very practical, and something that most people will struggle with, particularly in these days. Something that is probably something that's been a great struggle for most of the world, considering what all's going on in these days. And so I'll not ask you to stand this morning. We'll just read a few verses and kind of give you some thoughts here and pray that the Lord will really help us this morning in these days. So Philippians chapter 4, and if you look with me in verse number 5, Paul here, of course, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to the church at Philippi, and he says in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 5, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And so I want to preach to you for just a few moments this morning with the Lord's help on four simple steps to overcoming anxiety. Four simple steps to overcoming anxiety. So we're going to be preaching this morning dealing with anxiety. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace, and I want to thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing it is to have a church to come to, and, Lord, a Bible to read. And, Lord, I thank you that you've allowed your people to assemble this morning. And, Father, I pray that you would help us now. Lord, as we've taken a step of faith coming to your house, I pray that you would bless us. And, Lord, you would increase our faith. Pray that you would teach us from your word. You would encourage us and edify us. Pray that you'd reprove, rebuke us where we need it. I pray that you would just do that work within us that only you can do. And, Lord, help us to be great overcomers in these days. Father, I pray that you'd feed our souls, Lord, of the bread of life this morning. And, Lord, give us things this morning that we can't get anywhere else in the whole world. Lord, we can't buy these things at the grocery store. And, Lord, we certainly can't have them given to us by the government or anyone or anything else. Lord, these things that we'll receive this morning come from you and come from your word and come from the church. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd give us what we need this morning, feed our souls, and help us in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. So really this thing of thinking about anxiety is, again, it's a simple thing in the sense that it's something that everybody deals with. It's not just one group or another, and probably more people deal with it more than other people, but it's one of these things that everybody at some point is probably going to deal with anxiety, and definitely in these times that we're living in, with all that's going on, all that's being hyped up, I think, you know, we would probably agree that a lot of people are really dealing with anxiety today. But I want you to understand this morning that we, as God's people particularly, have got something that the world does not have in terms of helping us to deal with and cope with and even overcome anxiety. Anxiety is something that can be overcome, and it's not something that we have to really be paralyzed to. It's not, and a lot of people are. They get paralyzed by fear and paralyzed by anxiety, but it doesn't have to be that way. Not for the child of God. It is something that can be overcome. Something that we can get victory over, and the Bible has many teachings on this and dealing with this morning. So I want to maybe try to help us and be a blessing to us this morning. I feel like this is what the Lord has to preach. And so, dealing with this thing of anxiety. Now, if you have your Bible closed, keep it closed. We're going to turn to several verses. And I want you to go ahead and start turning to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Now hold your place at Philippians 4. That is our text. Put a ribbon there or something there to mark that text, because we'll be coming back to that. That's our main text we'll be preaching out of, but we'll be looking at several other verses and passages. But while you're turning there, just kind of as means of introduction, what exactly is anxiety? What does it mean to have anxiety? What does that word mean? Well, the word anxiety means it means a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Okay? Anxiety is a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. I heard one guy talking about anxiety, and he was talking about the roots of the word anxiety, where it's rooted at. And it comes, from what I'm told, from an old English word that actually means to strangle, or it deals with suffocation, dealing with to strangle or to suffocate. And you think about it, a lot of times people who are dealing with anxiety, or somebody that may get an anxiety attack, feel as though they can't breathe. They feel that tightness in their chest, and they feel like they get so overwhelmed, and they start to feel like they are suffocating, or like they're being strangled with an attack, an anxiety attack. And whenever you get real worried or get real anxious about something, if you've ever dealt with that, that's kind of the feeling that you get. You get that feeling, that tightness in your chest of feeling suffocating, that suffocating feeling, or like you're being strangled. And so it's a feeling of worry or nervousness or unease about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. And that's, boy, where we are now, because, I mean, you look at this virus and look at all, you know, I mean, just anything, really. I mean, not just the virus. I mean, before this virus came, a lot of people are talking about getting back to normal. And America getting back to where we're normal and we're well. But let me just help you. America was not well and was not normal before this thing ever came on the scene. Cancer was killing loads of people, and heart disease was killing loads of people, and the influenza virus killed loads of people every year, and depression was through the roof, and suicides through the roof, and murder, and violent crimes, and I mean all the sins. I mean, America was not well before all this stuff happened. People are talking about getting back to normal and getting back to being well. Well, you know, frankly, I don't want to get back to normal. I don't want to get back to where we were, to be honest with you. I want God to do something and change us. That's right. I want to move on to higher ground where God does something and changes us. We don't want to get back to normal. But you look at where we were before all this happened, where we are now, you could pick any number of things and it would cause anxiety within people, because there's so much that we don't have control over, and there's so many things that we don't know what the outcome is going to be. I don't know what the outcome of the coronavirus is going to be, and I don't know what the outcome of all this government control is going to be, and I don't know what the outcome of all these, the possibilities of all these wars are going to be, and I don't have to know the outcome, and I don't have any control over it either. But a lot of people, because of the uncertainty of the outcome, you can get anxiety. And maybe it's not even the big things like that. Maybe it's just the uncertainty of knowing how you'll pay your bills, or if you'll keep your job, or all those things. Because, frankly, that's where a lot of us are. That's where a lot of people are. People, you know, this thing's come on the scene, and people think, well, the coronavirus is going to kill us all, and everybody doesn't kill, they're going to lose their jobs. And I mean, it's just, we just don't know how it's going to happen. And I tell you, the world is gripped in fear, and a lot of God's people are and can be too. And so I pray that this will help us this morning. Matthew chapter 13, you're there now, I'm sure. Matthew 13, look in verse number 22. Now, this is the parable of the sower, and there's four different types of soil that seeds are being sown into, and you can preach a message on each one of them, but we'll not get into all that. Just look in verse number 22, and we'll look at one part of it in verse 22. Look at what it says here. Says, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now, in your King James Bible, The word for care, that's the modern words that we would probably use for care would be like worry or anxiety or concern. The care for that thing. And it's that care that causes the word to be choked out and unfruitful. But then, not only does he just say the care of this world, he also actually gives a specific list of the cares. He says the care of this world. That is the concern, the worry, wondering what's going to happen in this world is one of the things that chokes out. But then also the deceitfulness of riches. Isn't that probably like the two main things that people are the most worried about right now? The care of this world, what's going to happen in this world with this virus and everything that's going on, and the deceitfulness of riches. What's going to happen with the virus and what's going to happen with me and my money? Am I going to be able to afford food? Am I going to be able to afford my home? Am I going to be able to keep my job? That's like the main things that people are wrapped up in care and anxiety. And notice what it says. It says it chokes the word. Anxiety is rooted in an old English word that means to strangle or to suffocate. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. The cares, they choke the word. The worries, the nervousness, the anxiety. To it many times, but in verse chapter 4, verse number, verse 5, he says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." Now, that word moderation, what does that mean? That word moderation means not extreme, not having any extremes. And Paul says to let your moderation, that is your ability to be calm in extreme situations. That's what moderation, it's the ability to be calm. And Paul says to let your moderation, let your ability to be calm, to stay away from extremes, let your moderation to be known unto all men. Now, I just want to remind you that Paul is writing this letter to the church at Philippi, where he's saying these words. He is writing it from a prison cell. Things look mighty bad for Paul. And yet he's writing these words, helping them deal with their anxieties and their concerns from a prison cell. Okay? And he says, let your moderation, your ability to stay calm and balanced and not extreme in these situations, let that be known to all men. Let all men look at you and your life and see in the, you know, amongst all the turmoil the day you're in and what's going on, let them see an ability to be calm. That's what he says. Not extreme. See, whenever people get anxiety, get care and concern and worry, you know what tends to happen? People tend to get really, really extreme. Really extreme. And buddy, you've really seen that really with just with this coronavirus thing. You got folks that are now it's not so bad now as it was at the first. At first, when it first came out, it was really bad. And you still got people out there, but it's not as bad now. People are kind of seem to be at least kind of settling down a little bit. But at first, when this thing hit the thing, people go to polar opposites of the spectrum. Nobody is balanced. You know, I mean, they're buying out every store of toilet paper, you know. I mean, it's just so extreme. And if you say anything that doesn't line up with what this person feels or that person feels, oh, man, they're ready to crucify you. I mean, you can't talk logically to anybody because everybody's so extreme. No moderation. People are either at the far end on this side where it's like the coronavirus is the worst thing that's ever happened. This will be the worst pandemic we've ever seen. Millions of people will die. We're all going to die. The world is over. And you can't tell me anything different. All right? You got that extreme. And we all need to quarantine for the rest of our lives. We all need to put ourselves in bubbles and live in bubbles and no contact. Don't even look at each other. You know? And so you got that side. Then you got the other side of the person that says, the pandemic is a plandemic. Coronavirus is a hoax and it's fake and the government's just using it to control everything and it's all fake and it's not real and I'm not worried about the coronavirus and you shouldn't worry about it. None of us, there's nothing to it, you know, and you got the two extremes. Neither one of them will agree about anything. And if you say anything that doesn't you know, hit them where they feel at. I mean, they are ready to crucify you, and you know, so you just got the two extremes. Paul says Christians shouldn't be that way.
That's right. Amen.
Paul says let your moderation be known all men. In other words, don't be hysterical. I mean, buddy, you just, and I tell you, social media is like the worst place on the planet in days like these. I mean, you say anything and people, they are coming at you with these absolutely hysterical remarks and things that's just, I mean, it's just so obvious. I mean, they're not even thinking logically. They're just hysterically scared and wrapped in fear. And, you know, they make it out like leaving your house is jumping in front of a freight train. I mean, really, I mean, people are just so absurdly extreme. But Paul says, to God's people, let your moderation be known. Your ability to stay calm, your ability to have that inner serenity that really the world doesn't know about. Not that you're not concerned, and not that you're living a flippant life and not taking things seriously, but he says, let your moderation, your ability to be calm, be known unto all men. Because when people have anxiety, they get very extreme in their minds and in their thinking. I want you to notice he uses a phrase there, the peace of God, in verse number 7. Now, there's two very similar phrases in the Bible, peace of God and peace with God. Now, peace with God is what we get when we get saved. Okay, we were the enemies of God. We were at enmity with God. And whenever we received the Lord, He imparted Christ, to us. And so we became the friends of God. And we're at peace with God then. We're not abiding under His wrath and under His judgment because of our sin anymore, because of the imputed righteousness of Christ. So we're at peace with God. That's man's ultimate need. Is peace with God. We get that when we get saved, but we don't necessarily get the peace of God when we get saved. And truth be told, at different points in our Christian life, sometimes we'll have the peace of God, sometimes we won't. The peace of God doesn't come when we get saved. The peace of God comes with discipleship, comes with growing in the Lord. It's that, again, that inner tranquility that the world does not know or understand. When they look at us, they see that deep calm. And that's why he called it the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. So it's what the world doesn't have and really even can't have. The peace of God. Now I'm going to read you just a little excerpt from an article here that I think will be helpful. This is an article. This is from the Times. This is from March 26th, so the end of last month. And dealing with this virus as it was coming on the scene. It says, as the physical coronavirus pandemic continues to spread, an emotional pandemic is following fast in its wake. When the whole world is going to pieces, it's awfully hard for the human mind, a fragile thing in the best of times, to cope. And more doctors are reporting the spread of despair, worry, and depression among their patients, especially those already suffering from some form of anxiety disorder. Even before COVID-19 hit its shores, the U.S. was a clinically anxious place. It's just like I said earlier, we weren't well before all this came. Even before COVID-19 hit its shores, the U.S. was a clinically anxious place. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, just over 19% of all American adults will experience at least one anxiety disorder over any 12-month period. Generalized anxiety disorder involves a pathological response to everyday challenges like worries over money, work deadlines, and parenting. For people with generalized anxiety disorder, those common woes produce disabling pain, and coronavirus is surely having an impact. The worry becomes, how do I pay my bills? What if I lose my job? What if I lose my car? McGrath says anxiety disorders are based on two words. What if, followed by the worst scenario your brain can devise. Talking about anxiety. And America is a place as a whole that is gripped with anxiety. Before this coronavirus ever came, which is really unbelievable. I mean, you're talking about the richest country in the history of the world, and yet people are so full of anxiety and fear all the time. Isn't that amazing? You would think that money would solve everybody's problems. At least that's what the liberals think, you know. But the Bible calls it uncertain riches. Never fulfills, never satisfies. All the entertainment, everything we've got is never satisfied. We're a clinically anxious country. And especially in this day, it's getting worse. And you may be sitting here this morning or may listen to this message later on when it's posted. You may be battling with anxiety. Now, that is something that everybody's probably going to battle with at some point. And I want to give you four Bible ways, four simple steps, Bible steps to overcome anxiety. Okay? Now, these are very simple things, and the world will have a lot to say about this, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. So, number one, the first simple step to overcoming anxiety is to choose to worry about nothing. Choose to worry about nothing. You say, Brother Jake, is it that simple? Well, I mean, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the passage we're in, he says, now this is just a command. He just simply says it. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. Now, again, care. Anytime we see care in the Bible, it's going to deal with worries and anxieties and being overcome with things, having care for things. And that's what he's dealing with there. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't overthink things and don't be overcome with the cares of things and don't worry about things. Be careful for nothing. Now, I'll say what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that we just go through life in a careless manner. And we don't care about anything and don't worry or we don't concern ourselves with anything. And we don't, you know, we just don't even care about the things that really matter. And we just, you know, just whatever. Just a flippant life. That's not what the Bible's teaching. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches the opposite of that. We should take much care for our lives in the terms of we ought to think about our lives. We ought to think about eternity. He says to be sober and to be vigilant. Part of being sober is to put deep thought into something. Take something very seriously. Be sober about it, right? And so the Bible's teaching the opposite of that. But in terms of the things we can't control, in the terms of the things that we have no control over, he says be careful for nothing. Don't be so worried. Choose to worry, to not worry about it. Now, turn over to Colossians. Probably just a few pages to your right in Colossians chapter 3. Look at what he says in Colossians chapter 3 and look in verse number 23. He says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. So there are some things that we should do. And there are some things that we should take control over. And whenever we do those things, and we do can't take control of those things, he says, don't just do them. Matter of fact, do them heartily. Do them the best you can, the best of your ability. But the things that we don't have any control over, the things that we can't control, there's no reason to worry about those things. There's no reason to have anxiety. Now, I know that that is a lot easier said than done. I know that. I realize that. I know this is easy to preach and hard to live. I understand that. But it still is the Bible. In other words, there are a lot of things, and you know this, I do too, that it takes a conscious effort to do, to step back and do the right way. I mean, you know, at times we do, at times we don't, but by and large, in our flesh, do any of us really just love to sit down and just read the Bible over sitting and vegging out over a TV show? Does anybody love that? You know, does anybody just in their flesh just would prefer to sit down and really just tie their mind into the Scriptures rather than just sit back and relaxing and just, you know, doing something entertaining? Well, probably not. Most people in their flesh don't prefer that. Would anybody in their flesh prefer to really get down in fervent prayer over doing something entertaining and relaxing? Well, probably not. But you know what we do? We do it anyways. We make the conscious effort. We choose to do it. And when this thing of anxiety, the fact is that there's going to be times we're just going to take a step back and realize, I have no control over what I am worried about right now. And so I'm going to choose by faith not to worry about it anymore. I'm going to choose by faith to just leave it and just release it to the Lord and let the Lord have it. In other words, do what you can. There are some things you can do and I can do. And the rest, don't worry about it. See, a lot of people are worried about losing their jobs when they've not been a good employee for a long time. Being a good employee and being irreplaceable is something you and I have control over. Now, at the end of the day, losing our job is not. But having a good testimony and being the type of employee that your boss really doesn't want to get rid of, that is something we have control over. Does all this make sense? We understand what we're saying? I'm saying the things we have control over, control those, leave the rest to the Lord. Choose not to worry about it. And so, you know, a lot of mothers are worried because they go to the grocery store and thinking, you know, what am I going to do to feed my family? You know, they're out of this or they're out of that. Well, control what you can. Figure out what you can get. There's other food at the store and figure out what you can get. Not saying, well, just let the kids feed themselves. No. Saying control what you can, leave the rest to the Lord. Turn over to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse number 25. Look at what he says here. If you have a red letter edition Bible, these words are in red. These are the words of Christ. Matthew 6, verse 25. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now, is he saying, well, just don't think about your life? Well, no. That's not what the Bible teaches. But he says, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? And so he's not saying, no, don't take any thought for your life. But you know, really, when you think about these lists, again, this gets right back to these are probably the main things that people are worried about right now. They're so concerned about. But what he's teaching, what he's saying is that there's things more than this, bigger than this, more important than this, right? Verse 26, he says, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Well, I can tell you, I've always wanted to be a little taller, and you can't think yourself to be taller. Yeah, I mean, you can't think yourself into being taller, and you can't think yourself into, you know, doing some of these things. And so what he's saying is, listen, don't be so caught up in these things because you can't control them anyways. There's no sense in you worrying about these things. You can't control them. And then he goes on to say, listen, the Lord, he feeds the birds and he takes care of the birds. Are you not better than they? Does he not care more about you than he does them? And they don't toil, they don't sow, they don't build up huge bank accounts and all these things to put back for the days ahead and try to do like what we do and worry about things we worry about. But he feeds them, and are you not better than they? I'm not saying we shouldn't have wisdom and shouldn't do things, as wise as we can. But listen, if all the things that we're doing to try to be prepared for the big what ifs and the big downfalls, if they're causing us to be wrapped in anxiety, the best thing we could do is just junk it all and just rely totally on the Lord. I mean, it's good to use wisdom, but at the same time, if what we're doing is causing us to be wrapped in anxiety, to worry all the time, listen, our faith in the Lord is what's important. He's the one that takes care of us. Let's read on. He says in verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? He says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's saying, listen, the Lord's, he's saying, God is in the control of it. He's the one that's feeding you. He's the one that's taking care of you. He's the one that's meeting your needs. There's no reason to be wrapped in anxiety. He says, take no thought. Verse 34, one last time he reminds us, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For the morrow shall take sufficient, or shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Take there no thought. There no thought. You know what the Lord is saying there? He's telling his disciples, choose not to worry. Choose not to worry. Number two, very simple ways to overcome anxiety. First of all, choose not to worry. Number two, choose to pray about everything. So first of all, choose not to worry about anything, but then also choose to pray about everything. Back in Philippians 4, in our text, in verse number 6, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. By prayer. Now I want you to turn over a couple pages to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And hold your finger at 1 Thessalonians 5, because we're going to read one verse here and then we'll come back to it here in just a minute. But he says, everything by prayer. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. Now in 1 Thessalonians 5, look at what he says in verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, he says, pray without ceasing. Now, if you are taking these verses literally, everything by prayer and thanksgiving, by, you know, make your request be made unto God, and then 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, pray without ceasing. If you're taking those literally, and you're letting every worry that you have and every anxiety that you have be a reminder that you stop and pray. And by the way, I think that's what you should do. I think that's what he's teaching here. He's saying, let all of your worries, let everything that concerns you, let the cares of this world, every time one of those comes upon you and you start to get concerned, you start thinking about, what if I lose my job? What if I get the virus? What if this? What if that? What if the whole economy collapses? What if the dollar collapses? If you let that be an opportunity to remind you, I need to stop what I'm doing right now and pray for just a second. I think if you were to do that, take it literally, I believe you would be praying without ceasing. Because every time that thought and that anxiety came on to you and you started thinking that what if, you'd be stopping and praying all the time. You'd pretty much always be praying. You wouldn't necessarily be on your knees maybe, but you'd always be in a spirit of prayer, an attitude of prayer. You'd be communing with God and talking to the Lord pretty much always without ceasing. And so, if I can't control these things, the first one is choose to not worry about anything. That is the things I can't control. Well, what about the things I can't control? What do I do about those things? I pray to the one who can control them. I take my worries and my concerns to the one who does have control over them. And not only does he have control over them, he's also got my best interest in mind. He already knows what's absolutely best for me and my family. And so choose not to worry about anything. Choose to pray about everything. Every time we're concerned, we ought to pray. Now, I don't know about you, but there's been times where I'm laying in bed in the wee hours of the morning, the wee hours of the night, and I wake up with something on my mind and I can't get it off my mind. And, you know, whether it's something to do with the church or something to do just, I mean, anything. I get up and I can't get it off my mind. I can't go back to sleep. And it's anxiety is what it is. Now, you may be different from me, but I'll just tell you what I do. I can't lay there and pray about it. Because this is what happens to me. If I lay there and start praying about it in my mind, talking to the Lord about it, it just seems to wind my mind up even more. Seems like it just gets my mind going even more, and then it's even harder to turn off. I'll tell you what helps me. If I get up and either just walk in the living room or just get somewhere and just get down. It don't even have to be long. 5-10 minutes and just pray and give that thing to the Lord. 9 times out of 10, I can go back to bed with peace in my heart and go right back to sleep. After just giving it to the Lord, because I can't do anything about it anyways. I just talk to the Lord about it, and I tell Him I can't do anything about it. I tell Him I know He's in control, and Lord, I'm just going to give it to You and let You handle it. Normally, 9 times out of 10, if I'm praying in faith, praying right with a clear conscience, the Lord fills my heart with peace, and I can go right back to sleep. And that's the principle there. Pray about everything. Choose to pray about everything. By the way, these are choices we make. Choose to worry about nothing. Choose to pray about everything. But then, number three, and I'm almost done. Choose to be thankful in all things. Back in Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, he says, back in 2 Thessalonians 5, let me get back over there real quick. 2 Thessalonians 5, and I had said we'd come right back over here, and then I was the one that lost my place there. So, 1 Thessalonians 5, he says in verse 17, pray without ceasing. But back up to verse number 16, he says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Look back in Philippians chapter 4, back up in verse 4 of that same passage, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now, that word always, that's a specific word. You and I might write it and would say always. Now, always is, you know, always when things are going good. Always when there's something to rejoice about. You know, in other words, when there's something to rejoice about, always rejoice about it. But he didn't say always. He said always. Always gives the idea of all the way through. Rejoice. Whether there's something to rejoice about or not, always rejoice. Now, let me remind you. He's writing that verse from a jail cell. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always, from a prison cell. Look down in verse number 10. It says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye also you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. And everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Paul says, rejoice in everything. Where the things are going good, rejoice. Where things are going bad, rejoice. Always. Always. And he said that he had learned in his Christian life to always be able to do that. To always be full, always be hungry. He'd learned those things. He said he learned whatever state he was to be content. And that was a learned thing. Kind of like the peace of God. It's learned. It's a discipleship thing. It's a growth. We grow into that. And that's something we have to choose to do. Choose to be is to be thankful. To be thankful. Now in 1 Thessalonians 5, he said, in everything give thanks. Notice he did not say, for everything give thanks. And the reason is because there are some things that are legitimately bad things. Now, I would say this virus, even though the Lord allowed it, is a legitimately bad thing. I mean, it's taken people's lives and it's made people sick. And then, you know, not only that, it's wrecking our economy and people are losing their livelihoods. And, you know, people that own businesses and stuff, I know people personally that are going to lose everything they have ever worked for. That's a legitimately bad thing. And I really do hate that. I really do. It breaks my heart. And so I don't know that I could sit back and say, well, Lord, thank you that all this is happening. Thank you for the coronavirus and thank you for this bizarre response to it and how it's destroying, killing people and destroying people's livelihoods. Thank you for that. I don't know that I could say that, but I tell you what we can do. We can say, Lord, thank you in all of this. In all of this, in everything that's going on, you're still in control. Your hand is still upon us. You know right where we are. And by the way, you've still been good to us. You've still been good. I'm still in church, and I've still got a Bible. I've still got my family, and I've still, you know, still got way more than I deserve. And so maybe I'm not thankful for it, but in it, we can be thankful. And it will really help you to overcome anxiety and overcome all that's wrong in the world if we'll just step back every now and then and choose to be thankful. Just say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've given me and all you've blessed me with. Thank you that even though all this is going on in my life, you are in control. You know right where I am. You could stop it today if you wanted to, but we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. And so, Lord, maybe not because of all these things, but in all these things, you're working. You're working. That's what he said. Amen. And so that's one of the big misconceptions about that verse in Romans 8, 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. All things work together for good. All things aren't good. But for those that love God, those that are called according to His purpose, all things are working together for good. And as I said earlier, I don't want to get back to normal. I don't want to get back to the way things were before this thing hit. I want to get onto higher ground. And I want to be able to look back on these days and see that the Lord worked in my life in a special way to where I was never the same ever again. Amen. And He can do that. And He wants to do that because all things are working together for good. Amen. But we have to choose to be thankful. Just choose to be thankful. Step back for a second and realize, boy, there's a lot to still be thankful for. Amen. Number four, last of all. Choose to not worry about anything. Choose to pray about everything. Choose to be thankful in all things. But last of all, choose to think only on good things. Philippians 4, we're back there. Look at what he says in verse 7. He says, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and what? Minds." He shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you know anxiety is a battle of the mind? It attacks in your mind. Gets in your mind, and it is a battle in your mind. It's an unseen enemy that, an unseen battle, unseen warfare, it's all going on in your mind. And the Bible says that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, it'll keep your heart, but not just your heart, it'll keep your mind too. I'm preaching about four simple ways to overcome anxiety. Overcome it. You can overcome it, man. And that peace that passes all understanding, not just going to keep your heart, keep your mind too. That is, overcome it for good. Not that you'll never battle with it, but you can get victory over this thing. You and me both, all of us can. We can get victory over that thing. Keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Well, how do I do that? Well, you choose to not think about things that make you anxious. You choose to pray about things that make you anxious. You choose to be thankful in all things, but then you also choose to only think on good things. Because look at what he continues to say in verse 8. He says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise," what's the next word? Think. Think on these things. Now I want you to go through that verse and I want you to pick out any three of those. Any three. Whether it's true or honest or just or pure or lovely, good report, virtue. Any, just choose any three of them that describes the mainstream media today. Choose any three of them that describes the president or the government. Choose any three of them that describes the television. Choose any three of them that describes modern entertainment. Choose any three of them that describes all the news articles that are coming out about everything that's going on. None of them. None of them. Hey, truth, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever thing is true. People run around and they're saying, man, I don't know what media source to believe. I don't know who to believe. Should I believe Fox News or CNN? It kills me, man. People that have all these opinions and stuff, and somebody will say, well, where's your facts? You know, I want to know your facts. And then they'll link a CNN article. Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. That's where we're getting our facts at, right? Yeah, true. I don't know who to believe. I don't know what to believe. I know exactly what to believe. I know exactly what to believe. This is 150% true, Jack. It does not get any more true. It does not get any more pure truth than this right here, praise God. But if our minds are wrapped up in what we don't know is true or not true, hey, we'll be full of anxiety all the time, friend. Hey, just think on things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just. Hey, think on good things. Amen? Think on good things. Whenever you feel your mind start to wander and get gripped with anxiety and get gripped with concern and worry, go ahead and step back for a second and choose to think on some good things. Go ahead and pick up your Bible and start reading your Bible. Go ahead and pop in a preaching CD or jump on sermon audio and get you some preaching pulled up and start listening to some preaching. Hey, go ahead and put you in some good gospel music, singing about the blood, singing about the cross, and get your mind stayed on good things. Amen? Choose to think only on good things. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to turn over there. I want you to see a verse there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. All right, so 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 5. Look at what he says there. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. That is, anything that would rear up in your mind and exalt and try to overcome the knowledge of God in your mind. He says, cast all that down. Then he says, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Listen, the number one battleground for you and me in the Christian walk is in our mind. And it'll never go away. It'll never go away. We'll constantly be battling there, and being out in the world, there's always going to be constantly have that bombardment with things that the devil would try to use to get us full of anxiety and full of fear. But what he says is to cast down those imaginations, cast down the high things that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Because see, we've got knowledge of God. Our knowledge tells us the Lord has overcome. The Lord, our knowledge tells us that He's in control, but see, we have things that come in our mind that tries to exalt itself against that knowledge, try to overcome that knowledge. What do we have to do? We have to choose to think only on good things and to cast down those imaginations, to bring into captivity the thoughts, He says, to the obedience of Christ. Bring our minds into captivity that we would obey Christ and trust Him, put our faith in Him. You say, boy, I've got anxiety. What do I do? Stop thinking about that thing, man. Stop thinking about whatever it is giving you anxiety. It's kind of like bitterness. People talk, well, man, I've got bitterness in my heart, and I'm so bitter against this person. What do I do? How do I get over this bitterness? Stop thinking about it. You wake up every morning, you go all day thinking about that person and what they did and how they wronged you. Well, yeah, that root's just going to get deeper and deeper and deeper. Amen. He said, we don't overcome evil with evil. We overcome evil with what? Good. That is, however much evil's out there bombarding us, we're going to have that much more good to overcome it. All the information, we're in the information age, whatever information we have coming in that would get us anxious, we're going to have that much more information of good things going in to overcome it. Overcome evil with good. Now turn over to Philippians chapter 4. I'm sorry, not Philippians 4. That's our original text. Proverbs 23. I got about two more verses I'm going to show you, then we're going to close. Proverbs chapter 23. This is a verse probably most of us know, but I wanted us to read it and see it. Look at what he says here. Proverbs chapter 23. Look at what he says in verse number 7. It says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is He. The things that consume your heart and mind are the things that you become. You worry about a lot of things all the time, get anxious over things, you become a worrisome person. You think very bitterly about things a lot of times, think very negatively, you're going to become a very bitter person or a very negative person. Now, all of us have tendencies. We can tend to be negative, or we can tend to be critical. It's just our makeup, the way we're geared. Well, how do we not do that? Well, we overcome it with good. Think on things that are good. Realize that our tendencies and overcome it with good. Choose to think on good things. One last verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy 1, I've preached on this verse recently. The Bible says, "For God hath not," in verse 7, 2 Timothy 1, 7, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." For full of fear, it's not the Spirit of God that's given us that. And then one chapter over, chapter 2, verse 4 of that same book, it says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I've heard men talk about being in the military and going out, and I'm sure Brother Carl could probably testify to this. They say, you know, whenever you go out, doing your military duties and things, there's going to be things at home that you'll think about, that you'll worry about, you'll be concerned about. But they say, well, look, whenever you get deployed, whenever you go out, you've got to kind of check that stuff at the door. You've got to leave it at the door. You've got to leave it home. Because, listen, people's lives depend on what we're doing here. We can't be worried and be tied back at home. We can't be entangled, is what he said. There's the word he used there. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You know what the teaching is? The teaching is that we are Christian soldiers. We are Christian soldiers. And we cannot entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. Things that don't matter, things we don't have control over, things we can't change. Listen, you know what our thoughts got to be on? Our thoughts got to be on the battle at hand. Our thoughts got to be on the battle that's going on, the spiritual warfare, the spiritual battle. Check those things at the door. Leave them here at the door. This place isn't our home anyways. Just leave those things here. And go ahead and get our mind on what's really important. Our mind now. Our mind on what's important. Because listen, people's lives depend on what we're doing here. People's lives. Just like, you know, in a physical military, people's lives depend on it. Hey, listen, people's spiritual eternity, their eternity depends on what we're doing here. And if we're all wrapped up and paralyzed by anxiety and by fear, and if we're as bad off as the rest of the world is, buddy, we are not helping anybody. You better believe that's right where the devil wants us. That's right where he wants us. The devil wants to make such a mockery of the church, and he wants the world to look at us and see us as gripped with anxiety as the rest of the world. And he doesn't want the world to see us overcoming. He doesn't want the world to be scratching their head thinking, man, how in the world can they be so calm? How can they be so serene? The devil doesn't want that. He wants us to be as hysterical and as worried and anxious as everybody else. It's exactly what he wants. But no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Be a good soldier. Choose to worry about nothing. Choose to pray about everything. Choose to be thankful in all things. And then choose to think only on good things. Now the world will tell you all kinds of ways and things to deal with anxiety. They'll want to give, you know, medications and things like that. But Paul said from a jail cell, worse off than any of us are here this morning. Way worse off. From a jail cell, he told a church the exact way to deal with anxiety from the Word of God under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And that is, do what you can, and what you can do, do it heartily, and the rest, leave it to the Lord. How to deal with anxiety. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace this morning. I want to thank you for helping us with the Word. Pray that you'll take it and use it. Pray, Lord, you'd help us all. Lord, in these days especially, Lord, these days of uncertainty, Lord, to be overcomers for the glory of God. Lord, to not be overcome with the cares of this world and to not be overcome with fear and anxiety, but Lord, to be overcome, Lord, with your Spirit. And Lord, to be filled with the Spirit of God. And Lord, to overcome the world, knowing that you have already overcome the world. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to rest in you, to worry about, and Lord, take control over the things that we can take control over for your glory. And Lord, the rest of it, I pray that you'd help us to be people of prayer, people of faith, that we might just leave it in your hands and trust you, and that the world would see that, that Lord, we could make our moderation known unto all men, that the world could see our ability to be calm and serene and at peace with you, Lord, in everything we go through in life. Bless us now in Christ's name. Amen.